everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And I'm Tisha.
We are excited to be here for season four. We have new theme music. We got some cool things we're going to be doing this season. I believe during this season, you'll actually see us a couple of video podcasts here and there. I think this is going to be a really good season. I think last season, Bruce, I think we turned up the notch a little bit. We got a little bit more aggressive.
We did.
I don't see that change in this season.
I don't either.
I'm really excited about the season as a whole, but specifically about the topic that we have today to get us kicked off for season four.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kick it to you, Bruce, and you go ahead and get us started.
Well, like Troy said, we're glad to be here again and glad for all of you guys that are listening. And we did, we've kind of, from season one to season three, I think for sure we have kind of delved into some more things. We've taken some of you guys' requests as far as things you wanted us to talk about. And I think season four is going to be just as good as Troy's already said. One of the things that we want to do is going to be a little bit different than what you've heard before. Like, Miss Tisha is here with us today, and there are, as far as assignments, I'm going to call them kingdom assignments. As far as kingdom assignments go, there are two prophets in the room and a very prophetic dude named Troy. We did that on purpose because I shared with them something that I believe the Lord spoke to me a few days ago prior to when we actually sat down to record this podcast. And I want to share those two things. My prophetic journey is a very interesting one to me. I know other prophets and prophetic people would be able to say the same thing. It's a very interesting thing to have a relationship with God and to also be called into or be invited into walking out assignments with Him. Not just having a relationship with Him, but actually having a job to do in the kingdom with Him. My job is to keep my ear to His heart and to do like Jesus did, and that is to say what I hear Him saying and to do what I see Him doing. In that regard, or in that sense, I want to share two statements that I heard. I heard these two statements just as I was waking up a few days ago. I call it the in-between. It's, I'm not quite fully awake. Mm-hmm. I'm not completely sleeping yet, you know, anymore, but I'm not quite fully awake. I call it the in-between.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because God will use the in-between a lot. And I know people, even Tisha's now shaking her head and saying yes, because I'm sure she has experienced that as well. And it's interesting because God will show you things. I'll have what seemed like a 30-minute dream, but only a couple of seconds went by.
Yeah.
In that in-between. I'll see things in that in-between and hear things. On this particular morning, I heard these two statements, and I shared it with Troy and Tisha, and we decided to share it with all of our listeners. The first statement is, everything starts and ends at the East Gate. I'll say it again. Everything starts and ends at the East Gate. The second statement that I heard was, the last era or the last age will be called the kingdom era or the heavenly era. I'll repeat those. The last era will be called the kingdom era or the heavenly era. And the other statement, everything starts and ends at the East Gate. So what I did was I called my friend Troy and I said, Troy, tell me everything you know about the East Gate. I believe that God is referencing, I believe there's two things that I'm getting from, that I got from that when I woke up. Number one, that Jesus is soon to come. Let me say that up front.
Mm-hmm.
I believe instinctively when I woke up that God was saying to me in a roundabout way, in His way, that Jesus is right around the corner, for lack of a better term. He's very, very, very soon to come. Because scriptures tell us, in reference to Jerusalem, the East Gate of Jerusalem, the city, that he is going to come through that gate. And so, obviously, it's the first thing that I would think of, that, wow, Jesus is soon to come, and everything starts and ends at that east gate. Of course, then when I felt led to call Troy and talk to Troy about it, Troy was able, because he is an anointed teacher and student of the Bible, he was able to elaborate, and I'm going to let him do that. But and Tisha's here to add as well whatever impressions that she has gotten, so that we can try to paint to you guys and even to ourselves the fullest picture of what God is showing us right now. And there may be other things that he shows us. There may be things that he shows you guys as you're listening as well from those two statements. And so I'm going to stop there, and we're just going to talk about it a little bit. Everything starts and ends at the East Gate. And number two, the last era. That word last really interests me.
Yeah.
Because we are in the end times, and we know that. And we know with everything going on in the world right now that, you know, those of us who study the word, what's happening even in the war that Israel is in right now, from a biblical perspective, I and many others are saying, okay, Lord, is this the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, it's interesting because then, you know, between Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39, there's some very interesting things that happens in relation to our Savior coming back that's been predicted already. So anyway, I'll stop talking for a minute, and Troy or Tisha, whichever one of you guys want to jump in, and just, you know, let's just talk it out a little bit and see what we come up with.
Well, I'll say, when I was looking into the East Gate and really thinking about this word, two things came up for me, Ezekiel 46, where it talks about the voluntary offerings that people are going to give at the East Gate and the times that they're giving them. They were for special occasion and for the Sabbath. And it just drew my attention in, and that there were free will offerings being given. And I think that just speaks to where we are as the body of Christ and how he's gathering us, that there's going to be, because we know that Jesus is the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And that we've entered into that place of the Sabbath, and how we are to enter into that place of worship with him.
Yes.
A higher level of worship, a higher level of intimacy, a higher level of seeking him. And even in that, I just feel that as the end time is culminating to the climax, that we're going to see deeper levels of worship like never before. And don't just limit worship to the lifting of your hands and the singing of a song. It is a lifestyle laid out for God, and it's a free will offering laid at his feet.
Yeah.
And we're going to see more and more people come up here, for lack of a better way to put it, and be able to lay those things down and give him the offering that's due him. And then another thing, Ezekiel 47, where it begins to talk about the water coming out of the East Gate. And I just really feel like, you know, this is going to be a time of a culmination of his spirit. You know, one of the things the Lord highlighted to me was, and I've been saying off and on in my own prayer time, this is the, for the Holy Spirit, this is his time. Mm-hmm. This is his hour to show out.
Yes.
As the waters cover the sea, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to cover everything. This is his epic time.
Yes.
This is high time, high tide.
Yeah.
For the Holy Spirit. And so as the waters in Ezekiel 47, those of you who know the story, the waters begin to rise and eventually goes over Ezekiel's heads. It's for the healing of the nations. I'm giving a summary. But in this time, I feel like also the Holy Spirit is going to arise.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it's going to be evident that Jesus is Lord like never before. And you will have to decide if you're going to be on the Lord's side.
Yes. Yes, 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 absolutely. And see, I so witness with that, because that second statement, the last era will be called the kingdom era. We know that we're calling, this is being called the kingdom era that we're in right now.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard a lot of people call this time the heavenly era. So that really piqued my interest. in my heart, one of the things that really rose up strongly in my heart, to piggyback on what you just said, Tisha, is what I've been seeing for the past several years is that right before Jesus returns, the body of Christ will function in such a manner, in such a strong manner of the Spirit of God, in such a strong manner. I'm going to use a worldly, kind of a worldly term for those who are listening, in such a strong supernatural manner, but it will be the supernatural of God.
Amen.
That the world will look at the church and say, they'll think, wow, that's like magic. Mm-hmm. Because the body of Christ, as you've just, you know, mm-hmm. indicated, will catch on to what is really important.
Yep.
His name is Jesus. Yeah. Nothing else.
Yeah.
No programs.
No.
Nothing else. His name is Jesus. And as people begin to catch on as we progress through this kingdom era and we kind of slide into this heavenly era, I believe that the functioning of the body of Christ will be such that the world will look at it and say, oh my God, it's like magic. They're raising the dead, they're healing the sick again. You know what I'm saying? You guys know my thing. You know, I'll be crazy. They're traveling without the means of trains, planes, and automobiles. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They're over here and all of a sudden they're over there, and how did they do that? And that kind of thing. We'll begin to operate in the supernatural on a level that that this present world certainly hasn't seen before.
I agree with that. And one of the things, you know, Troy and I were talking about, I was raising the question, I was in Acts, and I can't remember exactly where it is, but they were saying how the disciples which went about preaching the kingdom of God and mm-hmm. preaching Jesus. And I was talking to Troy, I was like, what is it to preach the kingdom?
Yeah.
Because we've gotten so deep in Revelation and so many, you know, facets and ways that we teach now, you kind of miss the simplicity of what it is to preach the name of Jesus again. And I feel like the church, as the rising of the Holy Spirit, as the waters cover the sea, his Spirit covers the earth, as the waters cover the whole earth, the sea, I feel like as those waters rise, as we preach the name of Jesus, the simplicity of the name of Jesus, man, we will begin to see the signs and wonders. I've actually been just really listening to a study on the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And really getting the name of Jesus back to not being a slang term.
Yes.
For lack of a better way to put it, for the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
In the name of Jesus, this. In the name of, and not putting the faith and power and understanding that when his name is spoken, he is there.
Yeah. I love to say it like this. Bringing it back to a place of being hallowed.
Yeah.
Because it's been hallowed
so
long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallowed. Reverencing the name.
Reverencing the name.
But the way it looks today, it's hollowed. The power and the reverence has been gouged out of the name, and now it's commonplace,
it's
like
commonplace.
Any other name, right? So I agree with you 100%. Troy, what you thinking?
There's a lot that I have, and I'm going to try
my
best not to do too much. Yeah, like that's going to work.
Yeah.
So your first statement was everything begins and ends at the East Gate.
Yes.
Then your second statement is that the last age will be the kingdom or heavenly age.
Yes.
Okay. So those two things definitely tie each other together, and I can show you that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing I wanted to deal with was the first statement. The first statement is, everything begins and ends at the East Gate. So you and I talked, first thing we talked about was the East Gate in Jerusalem and how it's sealed up. And there's a cemetery put out in front of, I think the Muslims put a cemetery out in front of it. And they put the cemetery out there just in case he does come back.
Yeah.
You know, no good rabbi would walk through a cemetery.
No good rabbi would walk through a cemetery.
Yeah,
right.
they know.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
Either way, they put that out there. And that's the first thing I thought about.
I guess they didn't read about the Mount of Olives, though.
No, they didn't read about
that. Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that later. Keep going.
But that's the first thing, you know, I thought about. And then the other part that I thought about was when we start to talk about the gate, my mind goes to the tabernacle. Okay. And that was the only entryway.
Yes.
Into the tabernacle was through the gate, which happened to be on the east side of the tabernacle structure. Mm-hmm. So that structure was about 30 cubits wide, but it was low.
Okay.
And so in order to go inside, you and all your friends could go in at the same time, really. Mm-hmm. You can take a whole bunch of people. 30 cubits is pretty wide. Mm-hmm. But in order to get in, you'd have to bow down. You'd have to go low.
Yeah.
Right? So I think when I started looking at this and saying, or looking at this, everything begins and ends with the east gate. Mm-hmm. First thing that hits me, if I got to go low to come in, that's humility.
Yes.
I have to humble myself. So everything begins and ends with humility.
Yes.
Right? But that's only part of it. Okay, so I believe that's only part of it. One of the other things, Bruce and Tisha, and I think both of you guys are like this, in the ancient world, the gates of a city, I love this, the gates of a city are where prophets would cry out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where judgments were made.
Yes, sir.
This is what the gates of the city were for.
Yes, sir.
So you had the dignitaries of a city that would sit, sometimes the Bible says sit in the gate, which means at the gate. David sat in the gate. It talks about that.
Right.
But they would sit, and when it talks about sitting in the gate, it's talking about the community of dignitaries.
Yes.
And they would literally meet at the gate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they would make judgments, right, according, mm-hmm. it's supposed to be according to what God is saying.
Yes.
And this is also the place that prophets would cry out to God, was at the gates.
Yeah.
So now we got that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if we're saying that the east gate, everything begins and ends at the east gate, we can look at that part as part of it too, that
really
it begins with the prophets crying out.
Yeah.
And judgments being made according to God's will.
Mm. That's good.
That's right? Really good.
Okay. So we got those two components, right? The third component. Obviously, gates are where people can enter in and are denied access. Either you can you gain access or you are denied access. Now, this one's fairly simple to me. Jesus says this in the book of John. He says, "I am the gate."
Yes.
Everything begins and ends.
Yes.
With Jesus.
Yes.
Everything. So you know, we start doing this talk about the tabernacle and stuff like everything. Tabernacle is Jesus. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything starts with him. Everything ends with him. And all throughout the tabernacle, you see Jesus throughout the whole thing.
Right.
Right. So when I started looking at this, that everything begins and it ends with the east gate, those are a couple of observations that I made.
Yeah.
Just going through my mind through the text and through some of the historical and customary behaviors of the ancient Hebrews.
So do you believe that I heard from God?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I absolutely do. Yeah.
Me too. I mean, you know, and I believe that this is the kind of thing, what we're doing right now, and even recording it for, you know, for those who can't sit, you know, there's millions and billions of people that can't sit in Troy and Tisha's house with us and have this conversation. So I absolutely believe that, you know, and so it's really good. Keep talking. Keep talking, because I know you saw a lot of stuff. Go ahead, Tisha.
And as you're talking, I keep hearing the worship, because when you said the bow down, you know, you had, that's worship all day long.
All day long.
And ends with worshiping Jesus at the gate and all that he encompasses. He says, "I am the beginning and the end."
Yep. And the end. Yep. So, think about that. The beginning of the tabernacle was the gate.
Right.
What was the end?
The Holy of Holies.
So he's both.
He's both.
He's all of it. Yeah. Right. So it's going to begin and end with him. You're not going to get around Jesus.
And so, I kept seeing the picture of having to unload.
I see. That's why I like talking to you. This, okay. So we can go here, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So 30 cubits wide.
Yes.
Right? But I have to bow down in order to come in the gate.
Yes.
Now, if I'm in the mind state of one of the ancient Hebrews, when I look at the tabernacle, this is my map. And I say that with my quotes up.
Okay.
Of how I get to God.
Yes.
How do I get to God?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I come through the gate, And if you think about it, as you progress going west, you're getting closer and closer and closer to God.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So when I come in the gate, I can bring everything with me as long as I can get low enough.
Yeah.
I can carry all my baggage with me, right?
Right, right, right.
But then you have this place where only the priest can go.
Yeah.
There's a higher level of consecration. And when you look at the dimensions of the door
yeah.
to the inner court, it's half the size.
Yeah.
Which means now all the baggage that I have with me
yeah.
can't
yeah.
come with me. I have to leave the baggage there.
Unload.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. There, yeah. And there's your word, yeah. unload.
It's beautifully prophetic, man.
Now, and here's the best part, or sometimes the hardest part. The next step after the inner court is the holiest of holies, right?
Yeah.
Now, coming through the gate, I have to bow down. But before I come through the door, I have to take some things off.
Yes.
Only one person could go in the holiest holies, right?
Right.
Which now gives you the indication that you're going to have to leave people behind.
Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy.
Everybody's not going to be able to go with you.
Mm.
And there's some people you're just going to have to leave behind. And sometimes that hurts because some of those people you love dearly, they're family members.
Yes.
But if you take them with you, you're going to be denied entry because yeah. they don't belong in the holy place. You would be taking something profane
yeah.
into a holy place.
You know how I see that, though? That's awesome. But mm-hmm. I, as you were talking, I got another picture of that, Troy. Everyone has to make their own decision.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying leave them behind. What I'm seeing is putting them behind for their turn.
Absolutely.
To make their own decision.
Absolutely.
Whether they're going to unload.
Or stay
and,
where they're
and
at.
And come in. You know what I'm saying? And enjoy the goodness that I've chosen to enjoy. So either way, it's the same thing.
And yeah. they would have to make the decision.
You can't go in on my strength. You can't go in on my faith. You can't ride on my relationship. This is between me and him.
Because if you did go in trying to ride on my strength, guess what would happen? You die.
That's exactly instantly. Right. That's exactly
and,
right.
And I'll say it like this. You can't go in on the YouTube videos, on the prophets on the YouTube.
Oh, come
can't
on. Come yeah, on. Tell
what you're truth. Watching on,
come on, man.
You know, Facebook. You Mm-mm. can't go in off of their sermons.
Mm-mm.
He says, depart from me. I never knew you.
Never knew you.
You need to know the Lord. And Trey, as you're talking, I keep seeing the smoke. Because, you know, the smoke would go in with the priests as they enter into the holies of holies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, hallelujah, oh. I just sense the intercession that is going to be needed for this time and this level as we
really
go
good.
Into this deep place in the Lord.
Can I deal with the smoke for a minute? Okay. So the last thing before you got into the presence of God was the altar of incense, and the incense represented the prayers of the saints, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now think about this. If you got smoke going up, there's smoke going up.
Yeah.
What happens when you pass by that smoke?
It follows you. It goes.
Bingo.
With you.
Yeah.
So when the high priest would go into the holiest of holies, guess what came behind him?
Smoke.
Was the prayer of the saints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They came with him. All that intercession, mm-hmm. all that time in prayer, mm. all that pleading,
wow.
all of that followed him into the holy. He was in wow. there alone, but he wasn't alone.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I could not physically go in there with him. But yeah. through intercession, I could be yeah. there in the right. same place.
Yes.
And so intercession is a huge part of this whole thing.
Yes.
You know, this whole prophetic thing, this whole, I think sometimes we because we've allowed people to take it out of context, mm-hmm. we don't look at this prophetic thing the way we should, right? Now, there's some of us that do, absolutely. And then there's some that's just like, yeah, it's just something. And there's some people that just want to stay away from, I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Right.
But there's so much you're missing mm-hmm. if you don't lean into this prophetic thing.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole lot that's going to pass you by. When can I say this? Because we're it's going to be a lot of people watching.
Yeah.
If you use this prophetic thing as a means to make money, there's so much that's going to pass you by.
Oh, sure. Sure.
If this is your occupation, so to speak.
Right. Sure.
As opposed to your calling, as opposed to the Bible says that if you're a prophet, then prophesy according to your faith.
Yes.
Right? I don't need your business card. I don't need all that stuff. Just prophesy according to your faith. Lean into God. As Bruce said before, keep your ear to the heart of God, and whatever he says, you say.
That's it.
And that's all prophecy is.
And if you attempt to do anything else, you know, I think of the apothecary. If you've been given the recipe to make the oil with the specific spices and you change any little thing.
Yeah, man.
It stinks.
The oil stinks.
Yeah, man.
And fills with flies.
Yeah. Putrid.
So dare I say that there are a lot of, we're talking prophetic stuff, and I'm a prophet, so I'll talk about us. There's a lot of there's a lot of prophetic ministries out there that have, whether knowing they've done it or not, have changed the formula, for lack of a better term. And though it may seem appealing to people who don't know any better and follow them, if it stinks in the nostrils of God, then, buddy, you better have some intercessors that can maybe pray you out of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Down here in this life, it may not stink like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've changed the recipe, right? Or, and see, what's the recipe? What's part of the recipe? Going low.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Staying low.
Yeah.
Humility.
Yes.
Intercession. You cannot intercede upright.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You cannot intercede with pride in your heart.
There you go.
You don't intercede they. Like you a true intercessor never prays they. A true intercessor prays we.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, help us. We have sinned.
Yeah.
That's the heart of a true intercessor.
Nehemiah is a good example for that because before he started to build the wall, he repented first.
Yes, sir.
And he repented for himself.
Yes, sir.
And then he repented for his ancestors.
Yes, sir.
And so, yeah, that's a great point.
Yes, sir.
The intercessors think we and not
you. And you know? Not you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's so much in there, man, about the going low thing and the worship. You know what I'm saying? The worship thing and I mean, it's, there's a lot in there. I got a lot out of it, you know, and you're expressing a lot of it. Tisha has already expressed a lot of the things that I saw when I fully awakened that morning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I hurried up and wrote it down. I keep something next to my bed, and I hurried up and wrote it down so that I wouldn't forget it. But, keep going. You got some more?
I got plenty of more.
Let's help the folks, man. We may be, you know, we may have listeners who, you know, this is very new to, as far as taking something that any of us believe we've heard from God and being willing to release it. You know what I'm saying? And to give it. And I will say this, as a prophet of God, I usually don't do commentary. But I really felt like the Lord wanted us to do it this way, which is very interesting for me because it's very different for me. I see myself as a delivery boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my responsibility to explain to you what's in the package. It's my responsibility to just
deliver the package. Yeah.
But I really felt strongly that the Lord gave us the idea to do it this way, and that's interesting. So let's delve into it, man, and make sure that the people who are listening, and I think I could even say this, that the people who are listening, if you have questions, please feel free to hit us up and ask questions, and we'll do our best to, you know, to answer the questions for sure.
info@h20live.org. Please send us emails.
Yes.
Unless they're emails about complaints.
We don't read them. Yeah.
But yeah, if you have questions, please, it's info@h20live.org.
Because it may be heavy for some people.
Sure.
Jesus is coming back. I you know, I'm saying that loud and proud because it's true and I believe it.
It absolutely is
those
true.
Of us who are in the faith, we're looking for that day when he returns.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, there are people, the Bible says there are people who have said, oh, yeah, you've been saying that I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, the Bible says there are those who say, oh, yeah, you've been saying that for a long time. Where is he? And, you know, and so their faith wanes, right?
Sure.
Even within the body, their faith wanes. So for me, if anything that I'd like to express to people listening or who will listen to this whenever is you need to be ready.
Absolutely.
If anything, you need to be ready because Jesus is coming back and he wants to find a church without spot or wrinkle.
I think the other part that I got from this, Bruce, and this is where I believe we can tie both of those statements together.
Yeah.
So for one, again, if we go back, the gates were the places where the prophets would cry out.
Yes.
But also where judgment was issued. Now, that judgment came by supposed to come by the word of God.
Yes.
And so therefore you're establishing God's dominion here in the earth.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're establishing dominion here in the earth, dominion only belongs to a king, right?
Yes.
And in order for you to be a king, you have to have a kingdom. There you go. So we're looking at the kingdom of God here in the earth, which is what you're saying here, the statement that you got was that the last age will be the kingdom age.
Yes.
It will be the heavenly age.
Yes. So
when we look at the kingdom of God, where does the kingdom of God come from? It obviously comes from heaven, right?
That's right.
And so the kingdom of God was here in the earth before, and then it left.
Mm-hmm.
When Adam sinned, kingdom of God, when Jesus comes, this is why John the Baptist, his forerunner,
yep.
comes before him and says, repent, for the kingdom of God is here.
Yep.
In essence, he's saying the kingdom of God is back.
Yeah.
Right? And the only reason it could be back is because there had to be a king.
Yes.
To enforce the kingdom. Well, Jesus was born then, so he already knew there's a king.
Yeah.
I might not know who he is, but right. I know he's here.
Right.
As a prophet, I know he's here.
Yes.
And then he sees him, behold, the Lamb of God, it takes what he sees him then.
Yeah.
Right? So you have this king, Jesus, he's here in the earth. And when, matter of fact, when John died, Jesus picks up the same message and he says, repent for the kingdom,
for the
of,
kingdom
God
of God
is here. It's here. It's at hand. Yeah. Right?
Right. Right.
So now you have the kingdom that's being established back here in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said this to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not. But it still is a kingdom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
It's not of this world, but it's not a kingdom as you suppose.
Yes.
Or as you've seen before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's still a kingdom.
Right.
And it's here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of where all this stuff ties together. The kingdom of God brings heaven to earth. Right?
Yes.
This is part of what the kingdom is for. It brings all of the statutes, the judgments, all of the legalities of heaven, brings it here to the earth.
Sure.
When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, on earth.
As it is
already in heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As it already is established in heaven, so we bring it down here to the earth.
Right.
This is what the kingdom is for.
Right.
Right? And we as citizens of this kingdom, this nation, right, that's a kingdom, we as citizens are supposed to bring that here to the earth. That's
yes,
what
sir.
The kingdom is, right?
Right.
Okay.
Now here's the problem with it. There's another kingdom here in the earth.
Right.
Right? Pilate represented the other kingdom that was run by Caesar. He was the representative of it, right?
Right.
The Roman Empire represents the earthly kingdom that
yes.
was here in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it juxtaposed mm-hmm. the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So you have the Roman Empire and you have the kingdom of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the kingdom of the earth, the kingdoms of the earth, they all belong to the earthly system, which is run by Satan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? The accuser.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have this kingdom of darkness, and then you have the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of God. This is where they tie together, Bruce. I promise you I'd get here. Jesus came to Jerusalem for the Passover.
Right.
Okay. Now, the Passover was very important. It's a very important feast. It still is an important feast. And I would urge anybody, if you are a believer, partake in the Passover.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying you have to do that, but it's good to remember.
Yes.
You know, because we were grafted into this family.
Yes.
Not the other way around. So it's a good thing to partake
yeah.
in the Passover and any of the feasts.
Yeah.
Just so you get a better understanding of the feast and the heritage. And you when you really study out the feast, they all point to Jesus anyway.
Right, right.
Either way. So for the Passover, because it represented the Hebrews coming from under the rule of another nation.
Yes.
The Romans took that very serious.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
And as a show of force, every time the Passover would come by, they would, Pontius Pilate or whoever was in charge, this time it was Pilate, he was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
He would mount up a show of force and he would come marching into Jerusalem.
Right.
And he's basically telling the Hebrew people, the Israelites, the Jews at the time, don't try it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I know
right.
what you're celebrating.
Right.
But don't even think about it. They would show a force. Now,
yeah.
here's the funny thing. Pilate, if my understanding is correct, and from what I've seen, he did not live in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem would have been a place that was too low for him. Too low for him. I was about to say ghetto. It was too low for him. A man of his status should be in a place that was a bit better. So where he lived was in Caesarea Maritime.
Yes.
Where it was.
Yeah.
So what he would do is he would travel south. I believe part of his path came through Joppa. So as he was coming down, he would ride on a white horse. That's so important. He would ride on a white horse. And the white horse was a signified triumph and victory and power. He would ride on this white horse, and then he would have a show of force in front of him, a show of force behind him, and on his sides.
Right.
You have all these soldiers and stuff, and they would just march through Joppa, and then they would finally get through to Jerusalem. And here's the thing. They would come through the West Gate.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And they would march through Jerusalem as a show of force. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, didn't have an army, had his disciples.
Yes.
Wasn't riding on a white horse, riding on a donkey.
Yes.
But what gate was he coming through?
The east gate. Yeah.
You see?
Right.
So now what you have, and this is why it's so important to look at this and tie both of those thoughts together, you have two kingdoms.
Yeah.
Marching towards each other.
Right.
Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And they're going to meet in the middle somewhere. You have the kingdom of light and you have the kingdom of darkness.
Right.
And it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? It's going to be a problem.
Not for Jesus.
Yeah. No, not for him at all. Yeah. And not for those that were with him.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
But there's an inevitable conflict.
Yes. There's a conflict.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we're saying everything begins and ends at the East Gate.
Yes.
And then you also look at that next statement.
Right.
Which is the last era. Is going to be the kingdom era, then you have to understand with this kingdom era and this heavenly era, there's going to be conflict.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
And you're going to have, it's going to be really, really clear and simple when Jesus says sheep, goats.
Yes.
Wheat.
Yes.
Tares. It's going to be really simple. And he's going to separate that.
Right.
And all the tares are going to march against the wheat.
Yeah.
And all the goats are going to march against the sheep.
Yes.
But the sheep are going to prevail.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that kind of ties all that stuff together.
No, it ties it together beautifully, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I just really feel like as we're seeing this culmination come together, we're going to really understand the kingdom of God even more.
Sure.
You know, the Lord talks about the kingdom of God being within us. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that as this march is happening supernaturally in the spirit, that we're going to learn how to release the kingdom of God like never before.
Amen.
We're going to have to. We're going to have to.
Amen. And I believe that, man.
Yeah.
That's just what I sense, that there's going to be a release from people on a higher level, in a higher dimension, whatever you want to call it, to enforce what God has decreed for this time in the earth. And I do want to say this, and this is going to be a hard saying. Victory doesn't always look like victory at the time.
Sure.
Jesus's death did not look like a victory.
Not at all.
Boy.
Mm. Not at all.
And so I just pray that the Lord helps us to discern what true victory is.
Yeah.
And I say that with all humbleness because I just.
No, that is
it's a great statement.
That is so important that you said that, because everything about Jesus, his time here in the earth, was misunderstood and misconstrued by a lot of people who thought that he was coming back for the takeover.
Yeah.
And he was coming back for us. He was coming back to redeem the world. He wasn't coming back to take over a world system.
Right.
No.
Right? He was coming back to redeem the whole world. You know, Tisha, that statement is so important, man, because how many times in our lives, just us three in this room, how many times since we've been saved had circumstances and situations went a certain way that looked like failure.
Yeah.
Only to find out that God was in it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There have been times in my life where it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where there was some embarrassment.
Yeah.
Been there.
But God was with me the whole time.
Yeah.
And so the end result was total victory in that thing. But, you know, I mean, if you're a prophet, for sure, because you don't, you know, you're learning to hear. Yep. So even from a prophetic standpoint, saying, I'm going to say it the old school way, y'all, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord didn't say it, you know, or you didn't get it quite right, you know, and hopefully you have character that you can go back and say, hey, you know what, I'm still practicing, I kind of missed that, and please, you know, I apologize, or whatever. Come to that character place too, but I'm just saying, so many times, victory doesn't look like victory based on our understanding of victory.
Yeah. And I feel like I have a slight, and when I have these slight unctions, they're usually just have a slight unction that what we're looking at as victory for the saints in these next couple of years, it may not be the victory that we had in our heads.
Yeah.
Thomas is a good example of that. Because it didn't look like what he thought it was going to look like. And Thomas just...
That's exactly right, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to say he gave up hope. He kind of did. I don't know what was in his heart, so I really can't say that. What I can say is looking at his actions, if nothing else, there's disappointment there.
Yeah.
Because I thought I poured everything I could into this dude for 3.5 years.
And he going to go die on me?
And he died.
And he dies.
You know?
He going to die on me. Yeah. And he going to leave me a name? What am I going to do with a name?
Yeah.
Right.
He told me
right.
he was going to restore... Yeah, what I'm going to do with a name... From a guy that's dead.
From death,
yeah.
God is dead.
Yeah.
Right. What am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Thomas, I get it, man. He's human, you know. And to your point, victory doesn't always look like what we think it's going to look like. And that was the very interesting thing about the life of Christ. He came into his own didn't receive him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't look like what they thought he was going to look like.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we know you Joseph's boy.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. You're Joseph's
boy. I mean,
boy.
Even his family members.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
grew up in the same
for those
house
of you
with
who
you,
are
yeah.
listening, who you know that there's a, you know, God's invited you to walk with Him in a particular way, and your family don't understand. You know, they didn't understand.
They didn't
Jesus
understand.
Either,
you're so in good company. Yeah.
You're in good company, man.
You're in really good company.
But Jesus is the true victory, and that is our hope. If everything, well, not if, because everything starts and ends at the East Gate, or we're saying with Jesus, we understand that victory is imminent.
Yes.
Victory is imminent. And in that, we have to have hope.
Yes.
In that, we have to understand that Jesus will not fail His body, His kingdom, nor us individually.
Amen. And I believe, guys, that God started dealing with me about definitions. And how the enemy was working overtime to change people's definitions, to change the definitions, even, you know, biblical definitions, right? Worldly definitions, definitions of things that God Himself had established, right? On every front, man. And so as you were saying that, Tisha, what I was hearing was, I'm going to reestablish my definitions of those things so that you will not only be content with a different looking victory than what the world calls victory, but you will rejoice in a different victory than what the world calls victory. So I think the definitions, I think with this transition into this kingdom or heavenly era, right? And this revelation that everything starts and ends at the East Gate, as that begins to get in people's hearts, man, the believers' hearts, they're going to begin to come back to His right definitions of everything.
Amen.
There you go.
And that will set a different expectation for what they call victory.
Yeah.
Give you an example. Peter and them get beat. Mm-hmm. They get physically beaten.
Yeah.
They didn't say, "Oh God, I can't believe you let this happen."
It said
that they rejoiced and thanked God for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And that is by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Oh man.
And that is gonna be the
key
for us.
Oh man, oh man.
Yeah.
You stand on something, and this has happened to me. I know it's happened to you guys. You stand on the truth. You keep the standard. You hold the line, as we used to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get some of the worst results. People aren't happy with you. They didn't go, oh, okay, well, yeah, okay, well, thank you for holding the line. No, they're mad at you because you held the standard that the Bible sets and that the Father sets. And people aren't always happy with someone who's willing to not bend. Oh, it doesn't have to be that serious. Oh, you're too spiritual. Oh, it's okay. Oh, God knows my heart. Oh, and you give yourself a wide berth. Oh, going back to the gate. You give yourself this wide berth, and yet Jesus says, broad is the way.
That's right.
That leads to destruction. Narrow is the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're going to hang out with me, you really don't have as much on the left and the right as you think you do, right? And I think that's what I'm getting in my heart from these two statements that I heard a few mornings ago, that that there will be those who will respond favorably, saith the Lord. I'm going to go old school. There will be those who will respond favorably, saith the Lord, and they will value with great value the narrowness of the life that I'm bringing them into. They'll value the narrowness of the life, and they'll begin to hate what I hate again. Hallelujah. And they'll begin to love what I love again.
Hallelujah.
That's where God is taking us, and that's what it's going to look like, because he's ironing out all of the wrinkles, and he's putting blood on all of the spots.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Because the Father knows and has determined that his Son should have a bride that looks like him, that is as clean as him, that is as righteous as him, that he should not receive anything less than a bride without spot or wrinkle.
That's right.
And some people will call that judgment, y'all. Some people will call it judgment. In a negative connotation, it is the judgment of a father. It is the judgment of our King, but it's a judgment that I'm going to make sure that my son gets what he deserves, and that's a bride without spot or wrinkle. And if that means that I'm going to teach you how to go low, I'm going to teach you how to go low. If that means I'm going to teach you how to go narrow, then I'm going to teach you how to go narrow. And I understand, even God understands, y'all, that there will be people who won't want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Who won't want to come in line with the preset standards that he begins to enforce all over again and say, if you're gonna be a part of me, this is what it looks like. No gray areas, nothing on the left, nothing on the right. This is what it looks like. Are you going to come with me? Yes, Lord. And certainly there will be some who will say no, and it will break God's heart. But there will be some who will say no. It's hard to believe. You think about it. You know what I'm saying? That's hard to fathom that anybody would say no to God. But we say no to God all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
So coming into this heavenly age, you know, coming into this prophecy, it looks like worship. It looks like going low.
Looks like humility, yeah.
It looks like humility, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like living on that straight and narrow path. It looks like miracles, signs, and wonders.
Yes. Absolutely.
It looks like victory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I missing? What is it?
It looks like Jesus.
It looks like Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. But only after we perfect repentance.
Mm.
Yeah, man. That's always overlooked.
Only after we perfect repentance.
Let me tell you.
That's the low. That's the East Gate low.
Sure. The best, I was just telling, we were talking about this just the other day. The best lesson I ever got on repentance, I got from my father.
Okay.
My father said, repentance is not just, I'm sorry, right?
Right.
He said, repentance is when you turn from something and then you set yourself against it like it's your enemy.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the best.
That's great.
Lesson I ever got on repentance. So if you're out there and you might be struggling with a pornography addiction. Now you mm-hmm. turn from pornography, and now pornography is your enemy.
Is your absolute enemy.
And you set yourself against it like it's your enemy.
Yes.
You know, if greed is your thing, you turn from greed.
Yes.
And now greed is now your enemy.
Yes.
And you set yourself against it like it's your enemy.
That's right.
It marches against you. You march back against it.
That's right.
And this was the best lesson I ever got.
Yeah, that's awesome.
On repentance. So repentance has to be perfected. I agree with you. And that's something that we rarely talk about.
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things. You and I have talked about this
yes.
before.
Yes.
Jesus came here to give life back to mankind.
That's right.
What does that sound like? That's your revival. He revived man.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was a forerunner
yeah.
that came before him.
That's right.
Who preached the message of
repentance.
So until you have repentance, you'll get right. no revival.
That's right.
Because repentance always precedes the revival.
That's right, man.
And if you want revival, and we keep praying and praying and praying, God, we want revival, pray for repentance. That's
exactly right.
Yeah. If you pray for repentance, you'll see revival.
That's right.
And I think that's kind of, we're working it backwards or trying yeah. to work it backwards. We're wondering, why don't we see this outbreak of revival like we did? I guarantee if you start to go study these major revivals and stuff like that, you'll see repentance come before it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
Guarantee you. You'll see repentance come before, and then now all of a sudden revival is open to everybody.
Oh, okay. So, can I say this? I think I can. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. In addition to everything you just said, which is spot on as mm-hmm. far as I'm concerned, I know people who are looking for sound.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They're looking for sound. I've had conversations with people. I'm not a musician. I can half hold a note, but I'm not a singer and I'm not a musician. I'm a worshiper, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I talk to a lot of people who are looking and hoping for this sound that will usher us into this
age.
New heavenly yeah. age, mm-hmm. right? One of the things that I believe the Lord showed me is that the sound is the sound of repentance.
Oh, there we go.
And that's why they
it's not music notes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's not new
it's
lyrics.
It's wailing.
It's the sound mm-hmm. of repentance.
It's crying
it's,
out.
It's
yeah.
the crying out.
Yeah. And I'm seeing that incense again. I'm seeing that smoke again.
And I'm seeing this gate again. Because this was the place where the prophets would cry
it's
out.
Where, yeah. It's the place where the prophets would right. cry
and
out.
What the prophets cry out about? Repentance.
It's repentance.
Repent.
Yeah.
Repent.
So this heavenly age, I think we all believe is going to have an aspect of revival, an aspect of souls being gathered. But the Lord is speaking to you and giving you it starts and ends at the East Gate. And,
yeah.
And I believe that part of that, it starts and ends with repentance. It's
yes.
going to start with repentance.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's going to end with repentance, and everything in between is the worship, the humility, the, you know, all the other things that we've listed. And so I just would admonish those that are listening and ourselves to, you know, I'll say this. I feel like personally the Lord has had me on a journey of a stripping away.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some of the other people that I've talked to, they're going through a level of that in some form or fashion like never before.
Same here.
Yeah.
It's like, God, I ain't got nothing left. No, you don't. You really don't. And so it's that's a form of repentance. That's a form of letting go of different things. It's a stripping away. It's a pruning. And so I would say that those that are looking for this heavenly age, this kingdom age to manifest through them, because it's here.
Yeah.
But allowing it to manifest through you, you start with your own personal repentance.
Yeah.
You start with your own personal yeah. revival. You start with your own personal breathing in the breath of God is what I see, that yeah. revived life, the quickening of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And from that, revival will spring around you.
Yeah.
It can't help but to do that.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
will walk in a room and light revival yeah. where you are, because the grace and the glory of God will be on you.
Yeah.
And to me, that's how it's going to be done this time. It's not going to be a single man, a single church, a single spot, a single place. It's going to be those that have been stripped and said, yes, Lord, that's going to breathe in the breath of God. And as they speak, it's going to breathe out over the others that will be willing to say, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see that spark of revival come.
Yeah.
This is the heavenly age. It's going to start with Christ. It's going to end with Christ.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Christ totally fulfilled, mm-hmm. church totally fulfilled in this day. We're seeing it now. We're going to continue to see it.
Amen. Amen. You know, there's a term that I use, Troy. You've heard me say this many times. I refer to God's economy.
Yeah.
In God's economy, it's exactly opposite of the way the world sees things. And so here's an example. If you want to go high, you got to go low.
Absolutely.
If you want to receive, you got to give.
Yep.
In God's economy, it's exactly the opposite of what the world will tell you is, once again, success.
If you want to live, you got to die.
If you want to live, you got to die. Mm-hmm. And so even as Tisha was talking, right, you know, you did a wonderful job connecting these two statements that I believe I heard from the Lord, right? And I'll add this, not there's no but in it. And one of the other things that I'm seeing there is in God's economy, you go to the East Gate, you unload, mm-hmm. you go low.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're really doing as far as God is concerned is giving him the opportunity to bring you above what I call the noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he brings you above the noise, right? Mm-hmm. So you're humbling yourself. You're going low. Because what's happening in you, Tisha, same thing's happening with me, but I'll say it like this. It seems like all of a sudden I can't stand stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, man, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's like something has happened, and it's so very recent since I got this word, man.
Yeah.
And I've been chewing on this word and talking to God about it. Something has happened, and it's happening on the inside of me where now it's like I said earlier, it's I don't know the words. It's new in relation to hating what he hates and loving what he loves. That's the best way I can describe it. And so for me, something has transitioned to where now I don't even feel like I'm losing anything or anything's being stripped away from me. It's like, ew, get this away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
Oh, I can't. Oh, if I watch two more seconds of television, I'm going to just die and go to heaven. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want no more food. The food is just, you know, and it's a beautiful place to be, man, where you know you got to eat. But now the food is secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that your flesh enjoys is becoming secondary because you're beginning to focus on him. And I think that's the thing that I believe is going to happen. And then I got this while you were talking just now, Tisha. And I had not heard this from the Lord earlier, but I think I heard from the Lord while you were speaking that it's going to happen quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That once it starts happening, I'm talking about the repentance thing.
Yeah.
Once people start picking up on, oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm kind of mumbling this song in my heart. I'm kind of humming this song, and all of a sudden I feel the presence of God, right? And all of a sudden I need to turn everything off and just flow with that. I think that's what's going to happen. And once that starts happening, it's going to be like wildfire, right? And all of a sudden it's going to take off, right? And it will usher in the Savior. It'll usher in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think it's going to happen when it starts happening. I think it's going to happen very quickly.
I think as far as what you're experiencing, if I'm not mistaken, I believe she's already given the answer to that. The Bible says that deep calls unto deep. It's the deep places of God that calls to the deep place of man. But she already quoted the scripture, the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
And so what ends up happening is your what's inside of you is being stirred by what's inside of him.
Yes.
Right? And this is why you begin to hate the things that he hates, is because there's a new level of realization of that.
Yeah.
That the kingdom is in you. You knew it before.
Yeah.
But there's another level of knowing that the kingdom is in you now.
Yes.
Right? And now those things are starting to irk you. because they never really, I mean, they bothered you.
Yeah.
You know, but not to this degree.
Yeah.
Because now it's a different level. The word I hear is sensitivity. There's a different level of sensitivity.
That's a great word.
That you have now. Because the deep part of God is stirring the deep parts of you, because the kingdom is in you. God in his kingdom, which is so funny, because we look at his kingdom as being external of us, but it's actually internal to us, right?
Yeah.
And we think of it, okay, he's out there somewhere and he's doing, no, he's inside of you. And he's working inside of each one of us, right? And what is he doing? He's building the kingdom in you so that you can build the kingdom out here. Everything's done backwards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we don't build the kingdom outside first and then let the kingdom get inside of. The kingdom is in you now.
Yeah.
And because it's in you now, you can go occupy until he returns.
Yeah.
Amen.
I have to say something before we finish about about deep calleth unto deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's Psalm 47.
Yes, right? It is.
Oh, my God. This is so good, y'all. In Christendom, we like quoting that, right? But if you read it in context, the person in that scripture was in trouble.
Sure.
And it's an analogy or it's a metaphor. The deep calleth unto deep, the deep crieth unto deep, because this guy felt like the waters of trouble was crashing on him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The waters of trouble are calling out to each other. Hey, you hit him from this side. Hey, you hit him from that side.
I got you.
That's literally what that scripture is talking about. Deep crieth unto deep. You're absolutely right still, though, because it's when you come to the place where you're bothered
by
everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man.
God's deep.
Yeah.
Crying to your deep.
Yeah.
But it feels like, oh, I'm dying. He's killing me. Mm-hmm. I can't stand this. I'm being hit from every side. Oh, my God. God, I'm watching videos on social media and they are just freaking me out. Videos of churches that are doing everything but preaching the word of God.
Yeah.
Those videos have been around forever.
Yeah.
Those churches have been around for a while.
Now.
Why is it hitting me different?
Yeah, man.
Because my focus, as you said, my focus is different.
Yeah.
And now coming back to a stronger place. Always tried to hate what God hates. Always try, but it's him that's doing it now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Per the word we got.
Yeah, man.
It's him who's, it's him who's bringing us to the East Gate.
Yeah.
It's him who's leading us to the East Gate and saying, wow, this is what I have for you. Unload.
Yeah, man.
Go low. I want to do some great things with you. I want you to fly high with me. But I need to lead you to this place where it's uncomfortable, where you don't have all the accoutrement, right, of life. It's just me and you.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to come with me, I'll lead you to the East Gate. And then you can be a part of my end time army.
Yeah.
When the conflict comes, you'll be on the right side, because that's what I wanted from you from the beginning.
Yeah. I love this stuff.
Wow.
I love this stuff.
Wow.
This is good stuff. This is a great way to start out the season four. Great way to start out season four. I'm glad you shared that with us.
Amen.
And I'm glad we got a chance to talk it out.
Amen.
It's some really cool stuff. We'll talk about that that East Gate as far as the Mount of Olives. We'll talk about that a different time.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about it a different time.
Yeah, what that looks like.
But I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
I'm Tisha.
And we thank you so much for joining us here under the Fig Tree.